My name is Sherry Mandel. I'm originally from New York. My family and I moved to Israel in 1996. In 2001, my son Kobe was murdered by terrorists. He was 13 at the time. He and his friend Joseph Ishron, they went hiking in the wadi behind our house in Tekoa, and they were beaten to death. That was the day our lives changed. We never came back to what we were.
Well, you can never overcome such a tragedy, a mother losing her son in such a horrible way, in such circumstances. How did you move on, if you have moved on?
I don't think you move on, you move with. The loss is a big part of us, but we saw that we wanted to do something to keep Kobe's spirit alive, that we felt that his body was dead, but that he had to go on living in some way. So we got the idea to do a camp, and we started a foundation called the Kobe Mandel Foundation. Kobe was murdered on May 8th, 2001. So already by the summer of 2002, we had Camp Kobe. It's a sleepaway camp for bereaved children. By 2003, there were 600 kids at the camp that summer because it was the Intifada, and there were so many children who had their mothers or fathers or sisters or brothers murdered. The camp is free for the children. The foundation pays for them to come to the camp. And my husband runs the foundation, is responsible for getting the money to send all these children to camp. We also run programs raising money for the kids. And we also run programs for bereaved mothers and families that happen all year in the Jerusalem area. I also have written two books. One book is called The Blessing of a Broken Heart, and the second book is called The Road to Resilience.
Before we go to your books, can you please tell us about yourselves?
I was born on Long Island. I grew up in New York on Long Island. I went to university in New York. I grew up, I was not religious. I had no Jewish education. I was Jewish, but I had no Jewish education. When I went to Israel, I had never even heard about Shabbat. I didn't know the Aleph Bet. I knew nothing about my religion. My husband is from Connecticut. He had a bar mitzvah, but that was it. He also had no connection. We were typical assimilated Jews in America.
And what brought you to Israel?
I was traveling. I was in Spain, and I went to Morocco, and I had a friend in Israel, so I figured I'd come to visit her. That was in 1984. When I got to Israel, everybody said to me, "Oh, stay, stay, we need you here." And then I went and I started studying. I went on a program called Livnot Lehibanot in Sfat. Started studying about Judaism, and I was in shock because I knew nothing. Felt that it was such a beautiful religion, and I loved learning, and I loved the depth. But I didn't think I would become religious. Eventually, I found my way toward becoming observant.
And your husband?
I met him in Jerusalem, so he was already studying. He eventually became a rabbi.
Right. From a assimilated Jew from Connecticut became a rabbi living in Tekoa.
Correct.
And tell us about your life in Tekoa before the horrible disaster.
We made Aliyah in 1996. We'd only been in Israel 5 years and we had 4 kids and Kobe was the oldest. Because we'd only been in Tekoa for 2 years then, that we were starting to feel that we were comfortable and the kids had made friends and they were speaking Hebrew and we felt like everything was going to be okay. But it wasn't.
So what happened afterwards, after the murder of Kobe?
Well, afterwards, I felt that I really wanted to die, that I did not want to live, that it was too much pain to bear. I did not know how we would go on. I really relied on my family and my husband and my friends. My friends really came every day to help me and to talk to me and to be with me. And community really supported us for months. They sent us food and they helped with the kids. Eventually, you find your footing, but you need a lot of support to do that. My kids were invited to America to a camp, and we went with them. We saw that the camp was, it was a great camp, but it wasn't the right camp for them. So that's part of why we started the camp for terror victims, because we saw that when kids have gone through a trauma, they need to be with other people who understand and are willing to address what they've been through.
I mean, you've been through a lot, and I think you put it in writing. Can you tell us about your books?
My first book is called The Blessing of a Broken Heart. It's the story of what happened the year after Kobe was killed. It includes stories about Kobe and then stories that happened that year, a lot of them that are related to Shimon Bar Yochai and other biblical figures, because a lot of things happen. Like Kobe was killed right before Lag BaOmer. He was killed in a cave. Then there were the year of mourning, but also a year of signs from Hashem, with a lot of stories of birds, that birds that hit me in the head, birds that fell dead at my feet, birds that hit my windshield, a bird got caught on my headlight, bird's nest right outside of my house. I dreamt about birds, and I dreamt that I was talking to God, and I said to God, how can you say that you're a God of kindness? And God said, I am a God of kindness. And I said, I don't see it. And God said, in the dream, I do the mitzvah of shiloach haken. I do the mitzvah of shooing away the baby bird. That's a mitzvah that's supposed to teach us about God's compassion. Once I had that dream, I went and I learned with a friend who knows a lot about Kabbalah. We learned one day, we found this passage that talked about the fact that there's a celestial Garden of Eden. It's the highest spiritual point in the universe. It said that in that Garden of Eden, that's where Mashiach waits to redeem the world. And in that place, there are pictures of the first and second temple, and then pictures of all the children who died Kiddush Hashem, pictures of all the children who died sanctifying God's name. I felt that that first book, it's really a movement from the cave where Kobe and Yosef were killed to the second part of the book is the bird's nest, which is an image of light and of freedom and of openness. And it's the movement from the suffering to I wouldn't say a reconciliation, but some kind of hope. And the second book is called The Road to Resilience. It's the seven spiritual steps of resilience. And they all start with the letter C. People misunderstand the notion of resilience because really when you have a trauma, you have to become greater because who you were isn't sufficient, or at least for me, it wasn't sufficient to be able to contain. The first step is chaos. That's the breaking apart. You need to break apart because if you don't break apart, you'll never be able to grow. The next step is community because really most people, you can't do it alone. You need other people. Then the third step is choice, that everybody has choices to make in life. And it's always a matter of trying to find God in the pain rather than excluding God. And then the next step is creativity. So everybody has some creativity to find in the wake of loss or trauma, through art and through music, through drumming, just to express it somehow. And then the next C is commemoration, because we have choices in the way we remember. We're here to speak at Chabad in Melbourne, in Malvern, and in Sydney, to share our story and to talk about the way that the Jewish community has supported us through 15 years of loss and building and hope.
Shiri Mandel, thank you very much for talking to us.